Let's stand together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. As they're coming, a couple things we need to mention. I'm sorry, that did not get mentioned earlier. Patch the Pirate is singing tonight. So 3:45, I think they have to be there. Make sure you're ready for that. And then the school's annual Christmas play this year, it's Scrooge's Christmas, 7 o'clock this Tuesday night. And that's for anybody. That's open to whoever wants to come to that. They will have dinner served prior and hot chocolate and desserts after the plays. If you want to get a ticket for that, the kids, I think, use it as a fundraiser for fine arts. So if you could, you see one of the students there, you can get that from them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We'll read these verses here. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, read the chapter, verse 1, we'll start. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we can be here this morning. And I pray that you just be with us. Help us to understand in small way as we look at this subject what love really is and how love acts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We have been doing this series on the big three. The first week we looked at faith. We looked the second week at love, and now we're going to look for a couple weeks here, starting last week, at charity, which is love. The Bible tells us these three things abide. They remain. They're constant. They're important. They're big. The reason we're going to spend a few more weeks on love is because the greatest of the three is love. I just happen to think that if God says something's important, it's important. If God says it in one time or says it at all, it's a big deal. But when God repeats himself or says, this is important, then it's a real big deal. And love is a big deal. Last week, we really just gave a little introduction. We mentioned how love is misunderstood. We talk about it so freely without understanding it, you know. I love pizza. Okay, really? You love pizza? Would you die for pizza? Some you would? Maybe mashed potatoes and gravy, amen? you love pizza. You love coffee. I felt something there. Did you feel it? It has to have creamer, though. If it doesn't have creamer, it's not worth it. I love coffee. I love my wife. Notice how she came after coffee. Just kidding. Sometimes my grandkids, I think they got this for me, but they came in yesterday, and Charlie goes, "I love you more than donuts." So I love you more than coffee. She goes, "I love you more than chocolate." Then she thought, she goes, "I love you more than chocolate donuts." You put the two together, okay? I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm up there on her list, amen? I do. By the way, just so you feel comfortable, I do love my wife more than coffee most days. But when we say we love coffee or whatever, we have an inkling towards it. When I say I love my wife, I love her deeply. That's a different type of love, all right? I just wish she had the same type of love for me. But just kidding, she does. But we throw that around too lightly, you know. You cannot know somebody for like 3 days if you're courting them. I love you. You don't even know them. Okay, they could be an axe murderer. Come on. Love is more than that. We misunderstand what it is. It's not a feeling. Because feelings come and go. It's not selfish. It's not based on what I get from the thing that I say I love. Love really is sacrificial. We said that love really is nothing. It's a decision. Okay? It's a decision. In other words, it's within your control. It's a commitment. I said, you know, I love my wife and we got married. I made a commitment to her. She made a commitment to me. And it's an action. It is seen in the things that we do if we're committed to it and we decide to love. And we come again today to this chapter. We're going to really look at the great impact that love can have. By the way, love's a big deal. God tells Christians we're supposed to love each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you." He says, listen, talking about brotherly love, I don't even need to write you about this. And he's telling them why. "For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." It's amazing that he says, you know, I shouldn't even have to write about this. It's not even a big deal for me to even write about it because you already know. You're supposed to love one another. By the way, in the church, should we not love one another? You say, I love everybody in the church, but there's a few people I just don't like. You can still love them. Okay? By the way, how many of you have brothers or sisters? How many of you have ever been irritated with a brother or sister? And the rest of you are liars. Okay? It's funny. You can beat your brother up, but the guy down the street cannot. Right? I used to tell the boys, not so much Stephen, he was older, but Jack and Josiah, I don't want you guys fist fighting. I said, but if someone attacks your brother, you better help him or you're in trouble. Okay? And they probably wouldn't help him anyhow until the very end. It's like, really? Okay, his eye's falling out. I might want to jump in here. But listen, we love, but there's irritation sometimes. But in a church, there ought to be a love for one another, a commitment, just like there is in a family and so forth. God wants us to love one another. We don't understand what love is. But love is, and I hope we understand this, love is something we are to put on. Okay, we're to wear it. Let me give you a verse, Colossians 3:14. And by the way, the Bible talks many things about this little phrase that we're going to mention. He goes, in Colossians 3:14 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We're supposed to wear it. We're supposed to put it on. Like the Bible tells us many times, put on the new man and put off the old man. You see, because love doesn't just come naturally sometimes. We have to make ourselves love. Sometimes, I don't feel like loving anybody. First of all, I've never even got there. You know, look, there are sometimes, can I be honest? Why? You know, I don't feel like loving my wife and kids. It's like, it'd be nice just for you to leave me alone. And there's times they feel the same way. We aren't feeling well. We're stressed, whatever. But you know what we need to do? We need to, in those moments, we need to put it on. We need to say, you know what? Because it's not a what? Feeling. If it's a feeling, it's going to come and go. But if it's something you're supposed to just do, you say, I'm not, you know, you ever hear someone say, I'm not feeling it, bro. Okay, guess what? There are times we're all not feeling it, bro. But in those times, we put it on. It's like, you know what? If it's decision and it's a commitment, even if we're not feeling it, we're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. And that's what love is. Now, in these first three verses, he's going to show us love's impact by showing what the results of the things that the church there was doing without love. In other words, we mentioned last week that the Corinthian church had a lot of problems. A lot of problems, infighting, sin. There was a lot of bad things going on. And so Paul's going to try to get them to understand that as a church, if they're doing some things and they're doing it without love, it's no good. Now, that doesn't just apply to church. That applies to our lives. And so what are the three things he mentions in these first three verses? We'll look at these briefly, and then we'll be done, and then next week we'll finish up. Oh, actually, not next week's Vision Sunday. Then we'll finish up later by looking at the rest of the chapter. He says three things. He says, first of all, without love, my words are nothing. Look at verse 1. Though I speak, and we referenced these last week in our introduction, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, he's not talking about tongues like some churches. You've heard of these churches, they speak in tongues. They get up here, usually about offering time, Brother Bichardo, and they get all happy, like, oh, the Spirit speaking, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not tongues. That's goofy. Tongues, by the way, the word tongues in the Bible means a language. It's a known language. And it was something that was in the Bible in those times before the time was written, and you see it in Pentecost, where they were able to give the Word of God in the language of the people that didn't speak their language. It was a miraculous thing. By the way, we'll look later. That's gone. That's we don't need that anymore. We have the Scriptures. But that's not what it's talking about. That's just gibberish, and it's nonsense, and it doesn't do anything. He's talking about if you could speak so eloquently, they're like, wow. By the way, you know, sometimes guys, they're courting or dating. It's like, oh, dear, you're just like an angel. Now, then they get married and say, like an angel of Satan. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Seeing if you're awake, all right? You speak like an angel. Your words are so eloquent. He goes, if I could speak like that and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What is his point? He's talking about, first of all, what I speak. What I speak. I'm speaking eloquently. I'm speaking as if an angel spoke to you. But there's no love behind it. You know, we don't talk like a bunch of spiritual lawyers. Just a bunch of words. Words have to be in the context of caring. And that's what he's talking about here. It's the spirit behind what we say. Do you know you can say something that's true and say it with a bad spirit? Okay? here's a verse for you. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth, by the way, I think church ought to tell the truth. I get a little weary. I don't want to be a cool church that just says a bunch of stuff that's not true just to get a crowd. Some famous pastor just last week, I think it was, or a couple weeks ago, they had his Christmas series. Well-known pastor, one of the biggest churches in this country. All these evangelicals run to this guy. He's their spiritual guru. He says the birth of Christ isn't a big deal. Doesn't matter. It's only the resurrection. Really? I have a suggestion for many of these pastors that say these kind of things. They should get a Bible. I gotta just read it. Okay? No, we're supposed to speak the truth. And there should be some passion behind it. But there also needs to be a motive. Do you know what the next two words of that verse is? Speak the truth, how? In love. You know, I think when I was in Bible college, many of my brethren, they just wanted to get up and just blow a head gasket. Now to get up and, why? Are you trying to help somebody? Good. The whole purpose behind it is we speak the truth because the truth is helpful. If the goal is to learn God's word and learn his truth because it'll do something really good in your life, that's a good motive. But we shouldn't back away from the truth either. But it's the reason that we say it. It's not what we say necessarily, although that's important, trust me. It's how we say it. It's why we say it. By the way, can I say something? Let's be kind to everybody in the church. No, this is kind of off subject, but pray for me. None of you in here are the spiritual police. Let's be kind to everybody that comes to church. Okay? By the way, you know, sometimes people, and many of you are new here, and Sunday morning is a newer crowd, but sometimes there'll be people that'll be really a part of a church, and maybe they start to miss or whatever. Okay. And they come back, and it's like, brother, where you been? Look what the FBI found. Can I tell you something? That's not helpful. You ought to be thankful for everybody that comes. You know? Hey, what are you doing? What's that? What's the purpose behind it? Gotta love everybody. Okay? And so, not necessarily what we say sometimes, it's how we say it. Now, it's not loving to avoid the truth, right? We're not going to be a Joel Osteen church. We just got to avoid negativity. By the way, I don't have his hair. I don't have any hair. I think hair is a sin. Okay? I've not found a verse in the Bible for that, but I've been looking really hard. You know? You know, it's I just dwell on the positives. Look, I'll tell you what's positive. If someone's pointing a gun at you, saying, hey, watch out, he's got a gun, that's positive. It's not negative. Guy's about to shoot you. So we avoid what we say in the Bible is negative so people get run over by a spiritual bulldozer. No. Love says, I want you to have the truth because the truth is good for you. So it's what I speak, it's what I sound like. If we do it without love, he says, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The picture here is what they would do in the marketplace. They would have these cymbals and these things in the background playing almost like you ever get like elevator music or whatever. It's just noise in the background. It has no meaning. No one really pays attention to it. It's just, you can tell something's going on, but you're not listening. That's what we're like when we don't speak the truth in love. There's an old saying I heard a long time ago, and it's true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, oh, I'm just stern, and that's just the way I am. You might want to learn how to love somebody. Okay? By the way, there's nothing wrong with being stern. We could probably use a little more sternness than looseness that we have in today's society. Why don't we? But it ought to do be because I want to be helpful. What happens if we don't do it in love? We're symbolized as somebody who has no impact in their words whatsoever. Okay? It's no impact. You're nothing more than background noise. Nobody is getting helped. You know, they're nice, but it's self-serving. It's you ever get these kids, and I'm not against them, but they come in your neighborhood, and I don't understand the whole program. It seems fishy to me, but they come to your door and say, I'm selling subscriptions to magazine, and I'm trying to gain points to go to Magic Mountain. How many ever had that kind of thing at your door? Like, Magic Mountain's not that expensive. I don't know how many points you need to but anyhow, I'm not against them. And they're really polite, most all of them. But we've had a couple of them, because they come in our area a lot. Where it's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And boy, you know what? They're not nice anymore. Why not? I'm like, what do you mean, why not? One kid was real rude. I'm like, you need to leave. So I was trying to be nice, you were trying to be nice, but boy, you sure snapped fast. Why? Because he didn't get what he wanted. Okay? And that's, look, without love, we have zero impact in what we say. He also says in verse 2, without love, our worship is nothing. Look at verse 2. And by the way, the Corinthian church, they were all into the spiritual gifts. Now, they were as carnal and wicked and fighting and split as any church ever. But boy, they had the spiritual gifts, allegedly. And he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, that's telling the truth. By the way, that gift isn't there. Now, we talked about the spiritual gifts. You have prophecy. You're tuned into the truth of God. That's different. There's no gift of prophecy. If Brother Rawl stands up and says, God gave me a word of prophecy, I'm like, what verse is that, brother? Okay, God's given us the Bible. That gift's done. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. You know, I in some of the church, I have a gift of knowledge. I'm like, okay, what verse was that? You know, God gave us everything we need right here. He doesn't need you to stand up and tell me what's in your heart that's usually wrong. Okay? All that we need is in the Word of God. Now, before the Word of God was completely written, there was some of that going on. But the canon of Scripture is now complete. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. His worship, his external expression, that's the gift of prophecy and all that stuff. You know, well, I do all this stuff for God and I've got these spiritual gifts. But you don't love anybody? You're not doing it out of love? Can I just tell you something? It's no good. It's not what we do for others. It's why are we doing it for others? It ought to be because we care about people, right? Now, again, if I'm a bus driver, by the way, thank God for bus drivers. We could use a few more, amen? Say, oh, I'll drive a bus. Okay, first of all, there's just one small thing you need to do. You got to get a license, all right? So other than that, that'd be great. You see, Brother Ross, but, you know, I'm a bus driver. I'm going to drive the bus because I love those kids. I love those families. I want to reach them. But can I just tell you something? If my alarm went off at 6 in the morning on Sunday, I don't love anybody. What? I got to get on that bus? Now, once the coffee kicks in and the juices get to flow, you'll get there. But if you're not feeling it, just be quiet, get on the bus, and have a fake smile you can and just drive and wait till next week when you actually care, all right? I understand that we don't always feel it, but you know what? You're not going to last on anything if it's not nursery. You love those kids, and you walk into that room, and there's that smell. A diaper has went south. But you ought to be out of love. All that we do for the Lord, it ought to be done for love. You say, but I do it because it makes me feel good. And by the way, that more power to you. And by the way, serving others does feel good. But not every time. But you ought to do it out of a heart of love, because on the days it doesn't feel good, you'll still do it. We have to do it. Those external expressions. Why? You know, some people do things because it is self-serve. You know, I want a position in the church. I'm not going to do anything, but if you make me a Sunday school teacher, well, why don't you come help clean up around here first, and then we'll see about that. There was a guy, and he had a ministry to, like, he was like, he had a nationwide ministry where he would help these guys in churches start, like, chaplains to the fire department, to the police department. And it was pretty nationwide. We supported somebody was in that ministry. And he used to work for the FBI, so he really understood it. And he went around the country having these meetings and organizing all these chaplains. And he had a huge meeting in Chicago one time. It's like a national meeting. And here these chaplains are coming from these churches that are going to go out and help the police department. By the way, we're for the police department. And we're for the fire department. Okay? They don't need to rescue cats, but we're for the fire department. He's having this meeting with all the chaplains, and you know who visited them? The FBI agents. And they arrested him. He had never been in the FBI. And he found out very quickly that it's against the law to say that you were in the FBI if you never were. Okay? That ministry ended pretty quick. Why was he? I don't know why he was doing it. But I guarantee you, and I'm not judging the guy, but I guarantee you, I don't think love was at the bottom of it, because you'd probably want to be truthful. I do all this stuff for God, but do you really love God and do you really love people? If you don't, then he says it's not really, you're not really doing much. Then he said there's that's an external expression of worship. What about the external? What about the internal? And though I have all faith, faith is an internal thing. And that's a belief. It's a characteristic. It's a quality that we possess. We talked about it several weeks ago. That I could remove mountains. By the way, I'm not impressed with people who want to be spiritual giants, but they don't care for people. You know? It's like, isn't that what we're here for? There should not be a spiritual big shot. There isn't. Now, we like that in our Christian society. We want the ball players to become Christians, and they're kind of the big shots. And by the way, you want to have them in a church, they're going to charge you an arm and a leg for that too, by the way. There was some guy that used to do, his ministry, he'd jump cars on a motorcycle, jump all these buses or whatever, and he'll come to your church and do that as a ministry. And I found out, it's like, he charged a lot. I don't know if there was much ministry in that. That was a lot of profit. Now, by the way, you're jumping over buses. You probably need medical insurance because you're not going to, you know, one slip up and you're evil Knievel again. But look, why, you know, I'm a big, no. We're Christians walking with God, serving God, doing everything we can to help people. Let's not try to be a big shot. Also, look at verse 3. He says, without love, my work is nothing. Is nothing. Now, on the last one, he says, if you try to worship me and you have the external expression, the internal expression, and you're doing it without love, he said, I am nothing. Took it personally. Said, people might think I'm a big shot. They might think I have all these spiritual gifts. They might think I'm this big spiritual giant, but if I'm not loving people, I'm nothing. And by the way, the world is, and don't get me wrong, the world is not going to be reached by Christian big shots. It's reached by churches that have a group of people that love God and just care about their community. Right? How are you going to reach the world? How we're going to reach the world? We have a church of people that love God and are committed to helping missionaries get out into the world. That's how it works. But lastly, as I said, without love, my work is nothing. He goes, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You could grant all your belongings to those who have nothing. I'm giving everything I have. By the way, God doesn't tell you necessarily to do that. Now, he wants you to give your body and your life, but he doesn't necessarily say, take everything you have and sell it and give it to the poor. Because then people are going to have to start giving to you, okay? But you should be concerned with giving to the poor. We should be concerned about helping other people. But this, he's giving us a picture here. Here's a guy. I'm giving everything I have. I'm selling it. I'm granting all my belongings. I'm going to give it to those who don't have anything. But yet you don't have love? I can't imagine someone doing that. There are people that do things. There's, in the Bible, you see Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do? They sold their possession and they gave half of it to those that were in need. That is seriously commendable. And God didn't tell them to do that. They chose to do that. What was their problem? They wanted to look bigger than they were. They said, yeah, we sold it for this much, and we gave all of it. God didn't take too kindly to that because that's lying. But you could give everything you have. What is the purpose of giving and sacrifice? It's not to appease our conscience. Some people do that. Well, I feel bad, so I better give. There's a better reason to give. I feel bad, I better help somebody. And by the way, help them if you feel bad. But there's a better motive to doing that type of thing. It's not because you want to cleanse your conscience. Or not just to fulfill a command. And by the way, I'm all for fulfilling a command. If God tells me to do it, I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not. But if I always do it without feeling like it, that's a problem. I ought to find some love in there for God that's going to keep me motivated to doing it. He says also, and though I give my body to be burned, he grants all his belongings. Now he's giving his whole body. By the way, You know, we think sometimes the dark ages and the martyrs. Do you know there's a lot of people being martyred around this world? A lot of them by Islam. In the countries where they've taken a foothold, those Christians are targets. Okay? In the communist countries. We do have brethren that are being persecuted. We ought to think about that. Now, we have a lot. By the way, there's a target on Christians' back in our media and our, and to be honest with you, most of our government. It's a very small one, though. Nothing like what's going on around the world. But this person here, he's like, I was willing to give my body to be burned. And he's making a, I don't think anybody would really do that, but he's making a comparison. You can give everything you have. You can even give your body to be burned. He goes, and if you don't have love, you're gaining no benefit. It profiteth me nothing. Nothing. What's God saying? We need to understand what love is. It's got to be our motivating factor. Pride sometimes creeps in. Arrogance. Selfishness. But we always need to go back to the foundation for anything we do. And you say, you mention this so often. Why? Well, I'll tell you why I mention it so often. Because it's the two greatest commands in the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't it always need to come back to that? Why are you doing what you're doing? You got to fall in love with God. Because if you fall in love with God, you know what happens? You'll care about others. It's got to be love. Or else everything we do, it doesn't help us. It doesn't help others. It's just nothing more than background noise. Let's all stand this morning.